Greetings once again, retreatants. It's Pastor Bob with part B of our fifth day on our seven-day journey with Thomas Merton. The fifth day's theme is called The Demands of Love, and we shall pick up right where we left off in part A. Let's remember that the last thing we heard in part A was this from Thomas Merton. If we believe in the incarnation of the Son of God, there should be no one on earth in whom we are not prepared to see, in mystery, the presence of Christ. And now the first words of part B. If we say that we are precious in God's sight because of God's goodness, not our own, we are saying something about our own worth. If we do not fulfill our destiny, which is becoming the person made in God's own image and likeness that He wants us to be, then His mercy is frustrated. Our whole being, you see, our life, our actions become valuable in proportion as I love God and desire His will to be worked out in me. Merton says, we must be meek and loving, even towards ourselves, especially towards ourselves. We now make this into a prayer for ourselves. We do not pray it lightly. As we look into the very depths of the darkness within us and stay with all the painful, wounded, sinful parts of ourself, offering them up as part of the prayer. Merton is speaking of this love that we have for ourselves as and because of God's love for us. He says this, "This too I have learned or begun to learn in hell. Oh, the mercy of God. We are its ministers, even for ourselves. We must minister mercy to our hateful self and to our brothers and sisters, in whom we must see our own condition reflected. Thus we become Christ's. In no other way can we." So now we are being given a description of pure love. It is wonderfully freeing. If it makes us so totally certain of ourselves, of our own dignity, of our own lovableness, for the best and highest of reasons, then we no longer need to make demands on our brothers and sisters to prove anything to ourselves, turning to them to make up for the inadequacies within ourselves. Instead, we try to see what it means if we are to love our brothers and sisters as God would have us do, from such a confident and assured base. For it is only as we find this freedom within ourselves that we can afford to relax our grasp on others, since we no longer need their dependence. we find ourselves brought back to the theme of the mystery that each one of us is. Merton puts it this way: a person is a person insofar as each has a secret and is a solitude of their own that cannot be communicated to anyone else. I will love that which makes them a person, the secrecy, the hiddenness, the solitude of their own individual being, which God alone can penetrate and understand. He goes on, a love that breaks into the spiritual privacy of another in order to lay open all the secrets and besiege their solitude with importunity does not love them. It seeks to destroy what is best in them and what is most intimately theirs. Now, it's for this reason that Merton warns us, in a nicely chosen phrase, that we are not expected to be, as he says, a kind of radioelectric eye which is meant to assess the state of our neighbor's conscience. We're not expected to be a kind of radioelectric eye which is meant to assess the state of our neighbor's conscience. We are not there to see whether or not our neighbor is Christ, but to recognize Christ in them and to help our love make both them and us more fully alive in Christ. You see, it is precisely this beauty and this dignity, this core of reality, the person that we each are in God's eyes, which we must respect in the other. God sees us all as linked together in Christ and gives us a telling image of the needle and thread to express what that means. Merton says, it is the needle by which we draw the thread of charity through our neighbor's soul and our own soul and sew ourselves together in one Christ. It is the needle by which we draw the thread of charity through our neighbor's soul and then our own soul and then sew ourselves together in one Christ. Isn't that a beautiful vision? That's our calling right there. We're all sewers. We're tailors. We sew our souls to each other so we can be together in Christ. Now you're going to hear a part of Merton's life which is very well known. It's considered a mystical experience. So you hear the word mystical vision or being able to see God or be in God's full presence a lot. Merton will give us a description of one of his experiences where that happened. On one of his rare visits to the neighboring town of Louisville, Kentucky, Merton stood on the pavement at the corner of the street and looked with love at all these people whom he did not know. He looked at them with a Christ love that saw in each one a beauty and a dignity of which they themselves were probably totally unaware. He wrote about that experience. Here's how he wrote. He says, in Louisville, at the corner of 4th and Walnut, in the center of the shopping district, I was suddenly overwhelmed with the realization that I loved all those people, that they were mine and I theirs, that we could not be alien to one another, even though we were total strangers. Then it was as though I suddenly saw the secret beauty of their hearts, the depths of their hearts where neither sin, nor desire, nor self-knowledge can reach, the core of their reality, the person that each one is in God's eyes. If only they could see themselves as they really are. Listening to this, we can find that we catch Merton's own energy and enjoyment, his immense sense of joy at being human, at being part of the whole human race. It makes us reflect, doesn't it, on how easily and how frequently we take our own humanity for granted. Merton went on in describing that experience. He says, "It's a glorious destiny to be a member of the human race, though it is a race dedicated to many absurdities and one which makes many terrible mistakes. Yet, with all that, God Himself glorified in becoming a member of the human race." A member of the human race. To think that such a commonplace realization should suddenly seem like news that one holds the winning ticket in a cosmic sweepstake. Merton says, "I have the immense joy of being a person, a member of a race in which God Himself became incarnate. As if the sorrows and stupidities of the human condition could overwhelm me, now I realize what we all are. There is no way of telling people that they are all walking around shining like the sun." So, this celebration of love, rejoicing in love, is never facile, easygoing love. It is a love patterned on Christ's own example, the love of Christ Himself, the Good Shepherd, the Teacher, the Healer, the Suffering Servant. Talking on the Passion to the novices at Gethsemane, Merton painted a picture of Christ during His last week on earth. "It is by this standard," Merton says, "that we should measure ourselves." In that last week of His life, we see a love without weakness, even in the midst of fear. A love without selfishness, even in the face of such unfair treatment. A love without anxiety, even in the midst of persecution. And then, finally, on the cross itself, the greatest example of Christ's love, the ability to forgive. So as we come down the home stretch for day 5, part B, we see that Thomas Merton has moved a long way since his first encounter with Christ in Rome. He has come to know the Christ who is the suffering servant, who continues to love through betrayal, rejection, and pain. It is with this figure of Christ on the cross in mind that we can think of two sentences in which Merton speaks of love as a mending of broken bones. I remember finding them on a memorial to him at New Harmony in Indiana and copying them down for what they said to me of the costliness of love. Merton was writing out of the experience of the demands of love in a monastic community. But most of us live in a community of some sort, whether in a family or a marriage, a church, a school, an office. And what he says is equally true for all of us. He says this: as long as we are on earth, the love that unites us will bring us suffering by our very contact with one another. Because of this, love is the resetting of a body of broken bones. Even saints cannot live with saints on this earth without some anguish, without some pain at the differences that come between them. Let us close with some verses from Psalm 138. Let us pray. O Lord, how precious is your love. Keep on loving those who know you. We thank you for your faithfulness and love, which excel all we ever knew of you. You stretch out your hand and save me. Your hand will do all things for me. Your love, O Lord, is eternal. Discard not the work of your hands. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, hallelujah, and amen.